10 weeks after the earthquake, Haiti has for the most part fell off the front pages. And now the spring rains are making life under tents and plastic tarps treacherous and miserable. How are plans going for safer encampments and for rebuilding the Port-au-Prince area? Here in New York, a UN donor conference on Haiti does convene tomorrow to figure out the best way to deploy billions in foreign aid. Gary Pierre-Pierre, editor and publisher of the Haitian Times, has been to Haiti and back many times, back, I think, 3 weeks ago. Right, Gary?
Yes, Marty.
He's on the line with us. And also, for you New Yorkers with strong ties to Haiti, what are you hearing from home? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. People with family in Haiti, connections to Haiti, give us a call at 212-433-9692. First, where do things stand right now for the thousands of displaced people?
Well, I mean, many of them, their condition hasn't improved tremendously. I think, you know, one of the things that the government has been able to do is really remove the dead bodies that lined up the streets early days after the quake. That has been taken care of, but I think the conditions remain, as you said, miserable. I mean, tents are not any sort of, like, shelter. It's just something very temporary at best.
Are you lucky now if you have a tent rather than a piece of plastic and a stick?
Well, a tent is probably a more sophisticated version of what you just mentioned. Not any better than that, actually. And you have to understand, as you mentioned, in the Caribbean, you have flash flood, torrential rains. These are heavy rain, and in Haiti, the whole ecology is so bad that the least bit of rain carries with it a lot of debris. So these tents are not in areas where, you know, you could get people away from
flooding
the damages.
And,
yeah,
right.
I mean,
I know they wanted to move even the temporary cities to, and negotiating with landowners and stuff. Do you know anything about how that's going? Why haven't people moved to higher ground, drier ground?
Well, it's kind of easier said than done, because a lot of people own property are not there, or they don't have the paperwork. And so, you know, this is a very difficult situation. I think what the government should have done early on is to declare the whole city eminent domain and give it the ability to do these things and do the right thing. But right now, that, from what I understand, that has passed. So now the government has to negotiate with every single homeowner, and that is very, very difficult to do, and get people away from these flood-prone zone into a higher elevation. And even with the higher elevations, there's still no guarantee. I think what they need to start focusing is do some sort of FEMA trailers, if you will, some temporary shelters, some things more sturdier than tent.
Sure.
I just don't think tent is a solution.
It was so impressive at the beginning how patient people were. Even recently I noticed an article in the paper where there was a terrible flood a couple weeks ago, and people were, you know, literally being sort of carried about in these little instant rivers. And one woman said, instead of saying, you know, this is horrible or terrible or get me out of here, she simply said, I'm not used to this. Is that patient attitude still there, or are people getting angry?
Well, yeah, I think it's still there, because I think at this point people really can't blame the government. Everybody understands this was a natural disaster, and things are going to take some time. I mean, we've seen that here in New York, and we've seen it in Katrina, in New Orleans. So I think, you know, and the Haitian people, believe it or not, despite what has been written, we are very patient and peaceful people. It's just that when we get angry, we really do get angry, and so we take things to a different level. I mean, this passivity, this understanding that we're saying, well, can easily turn into very violent, and if people feel that they are being forgotten by the government and nothing is being done to improve their lot. I mean, we are very understanding and patient, but at some point that patience runs out.
Does the fact that President Preval is leading off this UN conference that starts tomorrow. Does that mean that he's regained the confidence of the international community or maybe even of the Haitians?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, the international community has really not dealt with any Haitian government beyond humanitarian assistance. I think he is the president, so obviously they want to showcase him. They want to show that they're working with the government, but frankly, they're not. Breval or even his predecessors haven't had the confidence of the international community. Now he has to be there, obviously. After all, he is a president. But I'm not really sure how that relationship is evolving as far as the people are concerned. I mean, I think he has done himself irreparable damages because of his lack of leadership early on.
Yeah, his slow reaction.
Yes.
Yeah. We'd love it if you could join this conversation as well and give us some maybe even more recent news from Haiti and personal connections to Haiti. Do give us a call at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Also with questions for our guest, Gary Pierre-Pierre. On the line, we have Rona from Nassau County, I assume, and has a question.
Nassau County it is. I would like to give some more charitable donation to Haiti. I don't know. I made a donation to an organization I think is very trustworthy and good, Doctors Without Borders. And now I'd like to make a donation that would be more helpful to the people who are well. And I'm just wondering if this gentleman has any ideas of which particular charities are working out well, you know, out there with the people doing what needs to be done.
Yes, Mr. Pierre, what did you see, you know, firsthand there?
Well, you know, I'm going to be a bit counterintuitive here and tell people I think right now donating money to Haiti is not helping much. And I, by that, I mean the Red Cross, for instance, has kept or has diverted a lot of the donations people are making to Haiti because Haiti right now does not have the capacity to handle this aid. I know that a lot of people, you know, are heartfelt. They want to help, but right now organizations in Haiti are not using donations to help Haiti. They have basically what they need to give aid. What Haiti needs right now is serious investments in infrastructure development, job creation, so people can just get from these under these tents and get it back into
right,
a regular job.
And Gary, that's what the UN conference is about. Can you tell us a little more about that? How much money are we talking about? How much do these donor countries, 100 of them coming to this conference, control? Do they have the right attitude?
The right attitude.
Well, I ask that when I say right attitude, I mean, sometimes developed countries want to control all this, and they say, oh, we can't spend any money the way the local people want to spend it because they're too corrupt, and we want to be in charge, which is not always a good idea.
Well, certainly. I think what the Haitian government is looking for right now is about $13 billion. That would lay the foundation for another $23 billion in investment. The $11 billion they're looking for is largely for reconstruction, so rebuilding roads, clearing debris, and getting the city back on its feet. And then the rest of the money they're hoping to get over the course of 10 years would be meaningful investment, like hotels and factories. Those are job creation mechanism to give the country a sustainable chance to become part of the American nations. And so when you ask about the international community's attitude, well, I really don't know. If the past is any indication, the attitude would be that, hey, you know, this is our money, we're going to control it, and this is what we want to do, and ultimately you will have a disjointed project. You have about 100 countries who are coming together, and most of them will want to do things their way, and the United States, which is the leading country in Haiti, will want things done its way. And in the end, the Haitian people will not get much of what they were hoping for.
Oh, you're pessimistic today, Gary.
Oh, certainly. I mean, there's, you know, I don't see anything to give me to make me think differently. I mean, you know, from what I know, there isn't really a concerted effort, a really positive development. I mean, we'll hear all the right things. I mean, Hillary Clinton will say the right things, and the French representative, the Canadian representative.
Right, and 98 others, and Bill Clinton to boot.
Exactly. And then I guarantee you, Marty, we'll be back here in 10 years talking about what went wrong. Why can't Haiti get its act together? I've been down this road before.
Speaking of things not quite going right, one of the things that our government did was say to Haitians living here, Haitians who are undocumented, you can stay here and get this emergency protected immigration status, get you here for 18 months. And, you know, we're talking, what, about 200,000 undocumented Haitians in America, roughly?
Yes.
Right. Well, apparently about 34,000 people, you know, applied, but you would think that everybody would have applied. How come, you know, one out of seven people have applied and not seven out of seven?
The operative word here, Marty, is temporary. I mean, people are not sure what it means, what temporary means. So they're not in any hurry to go and divulge their information to the government and let them know exactly where they live, what they're doing. And then if down the line everybody decides, well, Haiti is fine now, you can go back. So they can easily be rounded out and sent back to Haiti. Will this happen? I don't know. But that's the fear. That's the reality in some people's mind, that this is a hoax, and this is a way for the government to fish us out and send us back at some point. And so people are reticent about applying for a temporary status. They would rather want a permanent status of some kind. But that's why people...
That explains it. Is Derek still on the line, or did we lose him? Derek from the Bronx. Yeah, Derek,
Good morning.
You have a question? Good morning.
Yes. Gary, Chak Pate. Okay. Yes, Gary, I'm from Jamaica, and, you know, despite the fact we haven't had a disaster such as Haiti, my heart goes out to the people. My ancestry is Haitian. And just recently, 72 people were returned from Jamaica because we don't have the resources. We would like to help, but unfortunately, you know, the government, everybody's gone back. But what I'd like to address, Gary, is that Haiti has been treated like this experiment for the longest time. All these NGOs are on the ground prior to the event, unfortunate event. And for decades, as you're indicating, 10 years from now, we'll be talking about this in the same vein. Why hasn't anything been accomplished as far as the Haitian people, as far as being able to make them more involved in their eventual progress? That is my question.
Well,
with all the resources that have been invested.
I think part of the reason is that I don't think we as a country and as a community in the United States have been organized well enough to really shape our destiny. I think we've been badly led by leaders who really haven't cared one iota about the country. We've had a series of despots, total dictators. And now I think this is a moment for Haitians in the United States and Canada to really get their act together and fashion some kind of plan for Haiti. I think there should have been some representatives of the Haitian community at this donors conference tomorrow, because one of the biggest donors to Haiti are the Haitians living overseas that provide more than $3 billion a year to Haiti, but yet we're not there. Part of that problem is our own making, because we're not organized. We're not together. So decisions are being made about Haiti for Haiti, and then we're just like talking about it from a distance.
Let me break in for a second just to change the tone, perhaps. Evelyn in Brooklyn is calling in, and she doesn't like all this negativity. Right, Evelyn?
Yes.
So talk to us.
Yeah, my problem is that my heart goes to Haiti because I'm Haitian. But
well, can you turn your radio down, Evelyn? We're having trouble hearing you, and then start again.
Okay. I just want to know why everyone is so negative about what all the countries are coming together to help. We have to open our heart and let the people help us. That's my say on it. We need to let them help us.
But we have hope in
us. We have to put our head together so we can accept the help that they're going to give to us and use it the best way to protect and make our country something tomorrow that we can leave to our children.
All right. How do you react to that, Gary?
Well, I think I agree with Evelyn with that. I mean, the problem is not coming from the Haiti side. The problem is coming from the international community, who I don't think is really sincere or has been sincere in the past, and it's dealing with Haiti. Too often they make pledges that they've never delivered on. I mean, this is not my personal views. These are facts, Marty. I mean, I challenge anyone to contradict what I'm saying. I mean, there's been many donors meetings before. None of these monies have been actually given. So right now, I want to challenge the international community. Please stop playing games with Haiti. And if you are going to be helping, do it. Because you're giving people the false impression that the problem is Haiti. Well, yeah, part of the problem is Haiti, but the international community bears some burden in here as well. I mean, we can go on and on about the whole history, of course.
But, Gary, let me break in, because we actually can't go on and on because we're out of time. But we understand what you're saying, and I hope you're dead wrong, but I don't see any reason why you would be. Gary,
well,
Pierre.
I hope so, too.
Yeah, Gary, Pierre, Pierre.
I want to be wrong in this end.
What, pardon me?
I want to be wrong.
Yes. Gary Pierre-Pierre is the editor and publisher of the Haitian Times, and he has been to Haiti and back many times since the January 12th earthquake. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, Marty.